There was quite a bit wrong with our old packaging. The first thing that was wrong was we designed it pre-revenue. There were no customers to talk to.
Sure.
The second thing was we were a K-cup company. So the design prominently featured K-cups and was laid out for a box that could fit K-cups. And then the third was that the guess at the time when we were trying to pick a brand identity originally was...
We got Jesse Colts today from Lona Life. We're talking about the redesign. It's a bone broth company. Jesse, man, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you being on Packaging Unboxed.
Yeah, really happy to be here.
Cool, man. So tell me, can you give me a little bit of just a quick rundown on what Lona Life is and how you got the job that you're doing today?
Yeah. Lona Life is a powdered bone broth company that I co-founded with a bunch of friends about 9 years ago. I had been working as a management consultant in the food industry. And so I was brought in to bring that kind of expertise. And then my co-founders brought some entrepreneurial background. One of the guys was a R&D expert. He formulated the product to actually help his wife. And yeah, we've been at it for 9 years now.
So Lona Life is a bone broth product, you know, of the group. Like, who decided this is where we want to go?
So Paul is the R&D genius behind Lona Life. He was formulating and has been formulating beverages for 40 years. He has just an absolutely incredible track record. And so he had been turned on to high protein, easily digestible beverages. He was working on that to help his ailing wife. Mm-hmm. And then my current business partner, Brian, and I, we had a lot of experience in the beef jerky space. We actually work for one of the largest beef jerky companies in the world. And so we were also very interested in high protein, convenient foods. And that's why when, the group of us got together, we were both so excited because we knew this kind of thing can do really well. And Paul had a wonderful product that had already demonstrated itself, you know, at home.
You have a history in beef jerky mm-hmm. at this point. Like, what are you doing in the beef jerky space? Are you bringing products to market or what were you doing?
So I actually worked on the operations side for the largest mm-hmm. beef jerky manufacturer in the country.
Can we say who that is? Because I have no idea.
Shout out to Jack Lanks.
All right.
So a great thing. I learned a ton from Jack Lanks. Truthfully, one thing people don't know about Jack Lanks is Jack Link is a man who's still around. And
his last name, Link?
His first name is Jack. His last name is Link.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. And it's in every grocery store and convenience store in the country. And he is a really fabulous entrepreneur who I got to know a little bit. And his son, Troy Link, who's the current CEO. And I just absolutely caught the entrepreneurial food bug from the Link family. And they taught me a lot. And, you know, without them, we wouldn't be here.
Dude, I always thought it was like, you know, because like sausages linked together. I'm like,
oh, yeah, it's the perfect name. It's the perfect.
Hilarious. That's awesome. Yeah. So, all right. So then you're in the beef jerky space. You get an opportunity to work with someone that's developing a high protein beverage. How do those two come together where you're like, this has to go to market?
Yeah. Well, there was another group of entrepreneurs based in Oceanside, California, who I have to give credit for pulling it all together. You know, they were familiar with me. They knew I had a lot of food operations background and kind of knew big food very well. And they knew Paul, who was this R&D guy. Those entrepreneurs really said, you know, this is what the beginning of a company looks like. We really need to form a company. And I followed their lead. I really was not entrepreneurial 9 years ago. I was more of a hired expert who over the last 9 years has become a little bit entrepreneurial, but it was other folks, frankly.
Yeah. For somebody that's out there that, you know, cause I hear a lot of people that are like jumping into the food space. They want to develop a food product. They see it on Shark Tank. They see it, you know, everywhere. And they're like, man, this is the way to riches, right? Like mm-hmm. developing a food product and getting it into market is my ticket, but it doesn't seem like it's that easy, right? Like you really need an operations person that knows what's going on.
You need a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of things you need, I think. And I think just by the numbers, you know, if we're making smart bets, this is not a good way to make money. So I would be very open-eyed about that. Like the vast majority of people that try and make a product will not succeed and will lose a lot of money. And it's a dangerous thing to try because you have to sink a lot of capital into it before you know. And that can be really dangerous. And unfortunately, you know, I do know a lot of folks that have had bad outcomes. So I love this space and I encourage people to get involved. But I think people need to be, you know, eyes wide open about the risks.
Yeah. And you're in a pretty niche space. right? Yep. Like, you know, bone broth isn't for everybody. I mean, it should be, but it's not for, it's not really targeted that at a mass market. You've got like this health conscious consumer, right? That's who's really kind of digging into this. So what is being a health conscious consumer mean?
It's a huge umbrella term. A lot of folks are interested in losing weight. I think if you poll people, that's almost always the number one thing people are interested in doing is, you know, weight maintenance or weight reduction. Lots of health conscious customers want that. And the way Lona Life has thought about it is a good part of lots of healthy diets is high protein, low calorie. And that's the kind of product we try and formulate. It fits into lots of lifestyles and lots of diet preferences if you can get a sufficient amount of protein without a bunch of excess calories. On top of that, bone broth is really a superfood and is very good for your skin, your joints, your nails, and it's kind of got a beauty from within function. So we lean into that a little bit. It's really hits a certain customer that does a lot for them. It's only 50 calories. You know, not many foods, even small snack foods, can get down that low and still be satiated.
Yeah. IDP Direct, pioneering Factor Direct sustainable luxury, packaging, logistics, and design. They're not just manufacturers. They're your partners in eco-excellence. IDPDirect.com. If finding your spec data is a wild goose chase around your office, you've got a data problem. SpecRite is the only cloud-based management specification solution that every brand needs. Because if you don't spec right, you'll spec wrong. So how's Lona Life packaged? I've seen a lot of bone broth out there that is in bottles, right? It's like in a milk bottle. It has like that, you know, you pop it open and drink it, or there's like the Tetra Pak, which is already pre-mixed.
Right.
But what's the difference that in the packaging for Lona Life?
I think it's important to go back like 9 years to the original packaging. So Lona Life has always been a powdered bone broth. We dehydrate it and take all the water out. But our original packaging format was actually in a Keurig pod. And 9 years ago, Keurig pods were a decent amount more popular than they are now. And one of the reasons we thought the business would succeed was that was like a very novel use for your Keurig machine. And the novelty did get us a lot of press. When we went to market, people were like, you know, some of it was not so nice. They're like, bone broth jumps the shark because now it's a but so novel packaging was kind of one of our launch strategies. But over the years, we've just realized, you know, the product that Paul developed is so good. The Keurig packaging is actually holding us back. People, you know, some people like it, but it's so weird. It's actually friction. And one of my business partners, I'll never forget where I was standing when he said, we should just put this in a stick pack. A stick pack is, you know, a long, thin, everyone knows what it is. Liquid IV has made these things ubiquitous. He said, let's put it in a stick pack. And I thought it was a horrible idea. And we launched it, and within like a month, it was our bestseller. It just blew past the K-cup. Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes you just got to get out of your own way and listen to your customers.
So as you're talking about, like, you know, having it in a K-cup versus the stick pack, I'm picturing there's the section for all the K-cup products. Where was bone broth displayed when it was in a K-cup, right? Because that doesn't seem like there's an area for it.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That merchandising question essentially made the retail distribution game twice as, you know, very, very hard. We were merchandised in the soup aisle because we were talking to soup buyers, and bone broth, soup is a declining category generally. People are not eating a lot of unhealthy soups, but bone broth within soup is growing. So the fact that we were a growing segment in a declining category, the broth merchants were like, I want that. The K-cup people, I think we were merchandised in that aisle only once or twice, but, you know, coffee is such a high velocity purchase. We look a lot worse because, right, you need to buy the coffee pots all the time.
Right.
So, but that was a big problem.
Okay. And then now you moved to the stick pack, and then the stick pack came in just an outer box, or what kind of container did that come in?
The stick pack was packed in a 4-count cardboard box. We picked 4-count because it created an appropriate price on shelf in the broth segment. And then we've sold larger 10 packs online for years.
Okay.
But the stick pack itself was the innovation. We didn't lead with let's make a box. We led with let's make a stick pack.
Yeah. And then, all right. So then I'm kind of like looking through your products. I see you've got an 8-ounce bulk pack. And then you also have the sticks in the box. You've got quite a variety of different shapes and sizes of boxes that are on shelf today. You've done a full redesign, and that's what we want to talk about today, but like just kind of getting a sense of like where you were and what made the difference. You've got the stick packs, like the 4-pack, and then you've got the larger packs, and then you've got the bulk. Is your business mostly at retail or more D2C?
No, our business is mostly retail. That's another thing that makes Lona Life, I think, so unusual, because I came from big food and consulting. I wasn't a D2C person. I think a lot of marketers get into food and they kind of lead with D2C. We knew grocery a little bit better than I think most beginners do. So the 4-pack is the dedicated SKU for retail. You know, it's perfectly priced and sized to do well on retail. I think we've all felt that friction when we shop, and some things like, you know, maybe almond butter is $15. That can, you think to yourself, yeah, that's pretty expensive. The 4-pack lets us down to, gets us down to a really attractive, like $5.99 kind of price point that people say, oh, that's neat. I'm going to put that in my cart.
So then looking at the product, you've got a variety of different flavors, right? We've got beef, we've got chicken, you've got collagen peptides and a master cleanse. But even within the beef, you've got grass-fed beef, you got low sodium, you have all these different flavorings. You've got Thai curry, then keto and tomato. How do you communicate all these differences on the packaging?
So one of the reasons we lean into these flavor extensions, it's really because we're so good at it. I mentioned Paul has 40 years of experience formulating beverages. This is really who we are. Like our strength is on the culinary side and developing wonderful flavors. And so we're just as nutritious and, you know, well-sourced from a quality perspective as any bone broth, but we really go the extra mile. It takes us about a year to create a new flavor profile. And we discard, you know, dozens as typical before we pick a flavor that we really like. And we do that because we really believe that we're selling what we call sipping bone broth, which is, this is a beverage. It's a very good for you beverage, and it can be used to cook. But there's a big difference between buying a perfectly flavored Lona Life stick pack and putting it in your coffee cup versus, say, buying a Tetra Pak of collagen and making some chicken noodle soup. We think it's a different use case. To the point of the rebrand, we didn't really know we were going to end up there when we designed our original packaging. So our rebranded product really leans into this sipping use case. That's the hero text on our front of box.
Yeah. So you're saying that on the previous packaging, right? Like I was about to ask you, like, what, before the rebrand, what were like the glaring issues that you were having on your packaging? So is it that people weren't understanding that this is something that I sip, and they were thinking they're buying this to make part of a, you know, have to be part of a recipe?
Right. Well, there was quite a bit wrong with our old packaging. The first thing that was wrong was we designed it pre-revenue. There were no customers to talk to.
Sure.
The second thing was we were a K-cup company. So the design prominently featured K-cups and was laid out for a box that could fit K-cups. And then the third was that the guess at the time when we were trying to pick a brand identity originally was that bone broth consumers would be outdoorsy, adventure-oriented folks. And so the brand lean towards Clif Bar quite a bit and a little bit of Red Bull. And after 9 years in the business, it was very clear that a health conscious person is not the same as a camping oriented person. And so we really wanted to shift towards more of a wellness focus.
Soccer moms want to be fit too. Yeah,
exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah. People want to do a little bit better, and very few of them will hike a mountain to do it. You know, we're going to the gym. We're all trying to watch what we eat, but like probably not doing as much adventuring as we initially imagined.
So then are you saying if you're launching a product today that you shouldn't design your packaging pre-revenue to the packaging that it's going to be for the long term? Or how would you balance that without having any customers to get some feedback on?
Yeah. The smartest way I can think to do it is to do your best on your first pre-revenue packaging design. And don't overthink it and don't overinvest in it. And I would bake in budget to rebrand within the first year. If it was me. Unless you are perhaps the target customer yourself and you really know it cold, you're going to learn something and something about your product is going to change. And I think if you invest a ton of money in your pre-revenue brand, you get married to it. I was married to mine for 9 years and it was wrong for 8 of those years. So I think you should have a much lighter touch on your brand when you're first starting pre-revenue.
That's great feedback, right? Because a lot of times people are, I get calls or messages where people are like, hey, I'm launching a new product. Who can you recommend to design my packaging? You know, and I'll usually hand them over to somebody like, hey, this person kind of fits that market, or this person, you know, has done the type of product in the past. It's so exciting at that stage.
Yeah.
Right. You're so about exciting to make something.
Yeah. And it's a real challenge and it's a paradox, I think, because you can't launch commodity products and have any hope in consumer, right? Like when I say don't overinvest in your pre-revenue packaging, like it still has to catch the eye of a consumer and a professional buyer. So it's really a challenge. You've got to kind of split it because you're going to keep learning when you're in market. That's for sure.
And I mean, one thing I've seen is also working with the buyers, right? It's like, Here's what the packaging is potentially going to look like. And then, you know, your buyers in different retail outlets are going to come back and say, you know what, we need you to make these adjustments, or we've seen this work. I know I've seen this with, like, you know, Target and a few other retailers where they're going to have their own team come in and say, hey, make these adjustments because we know this is going to pop in this section of the aisle that we're considering putting you in. So it's definitely not being.
Yeah. The best thing we've heard from our retail partners is about pack sizes. So we've sold to Costco quite a bit over the years. Mm-hmm. And there was no way we could have designed a Costco package without the input Costco gave us.
Sure.
They had very specific requirements and they're like, this is what's going to work in club. It would have been a huge waste if we had designed something on our own and then taken it to Costco because they just would have been wrong.
Yeah. And going through this, like, how did you, once you determine, all right, it's time for a redesign of the packaging, what's the next step? How do you find an agency? You know, how does that process work?
We had actually worked with a brand identity agency on the pre-revenue concept. I adore them and their work was sound and the product was good. It just didn't match the market we ended up in 9 years later. So we went back to them. We trusted them. The reasons they were wrong had nothing to do with their creative abilities. The only other thing I would add that we did, because it was so high stakes, you know, we had a medium-sized business to preserve, and we knew we were going to dramatically rebrand, and we wanted it to be really right. We hired a consumer insights expert who led a months-long research project about what are the key attributes that need to be on the front of the panel, what do people get wrong about the old packaging, and that person worked separately from our brand identity agency, kind of with a little bit of creative tension, right, because they're two different companies. And that was the most important thing we did during this rebrand.
It's not an evolution of the design. I mean, this is a complete different look on packaging, right? You went from Cliff Bar, somebody sitting literally on a cliff, enjoying a cup of bone broth with pinks and greens and a lot of different colors out there, to a more 2-3 color pack that's bold. It has a lot of illustration. And like you said, it's got sipping as like the key piece here. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a pack, I'd love it if you can kind of share.
Yeah. So this is the legacy. You can see Cliff Bar all the way. Yep. And then this is the revised. So the one that you mentioned, sipping was key. We've learned a lot about how people use our bone broth and it's as a beverage. So we wanted to call that out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my favorite part of this package is this mug at the bottom, right? Because I had this experience in a grocery store once. I go to grocery stores and I stand in the soup aisle and I watch people shop the shelf. And this lady picked up my legacy package, my first version. She looked at it. She seemed to be seriously considering it. And she shook it by her ear and she put it back on the shelf. And I thought, she doesn't know what's in there. She has no idea.
Right.
She didn't know how to use it. So on this one, we said we really need to communicate stick pack.
So
we put a big stick pack on the side And we put this mug on the bottom, which we wanted to integrate, you know, a really strong cue of how to use it. And then the cow, we needed a way to instantly say, this is broth. Because this could be a snack bar.
Yeah, right? It could be anything, for sure.
Yeah. But we found that these animal cues, people pick it up like, oh, it's broth. So the cow tells you it's in category, like this is bone broth. And then the stick pack and the mug say this is, and the word sipping say this is how you differentiate.
Yeah. And then you've got a pattern. You've got a repeating pattern in the background that has mugs. It's got bone broth. You've got all these little things that help communicate what's going on, right? Four sticks. And then, of course, you got the critical information of how much protein, calories, sugar.
And the flavor story, we're leaning into our bold flavor on the back because that's who we are versus our competition in bone broth. Mm-hmm. There are bigger bone broth companies than us, but we are the boldest flavor in the category by far. And we really want that to be our identity, that we want, we're sipped and we're a bold flavor.
So what if you, and this hasn't hit market yet, right? So you've got the only samples that haven't shipped in hand.
Yeah.
So I hate to ask you this, but you're looking at the packaging, looking back now that it's done, is there anything that's glaringly obvious that you'd be like, oh, I wish we would have thought of this?
Oh man, that's hard to say. I just stopped crying right before we started holding this in a good way. So that is the effect. I don't think so. I haven't found a problem with it. Luckily, my business partner, Brian, and I, there's only two of us now running the company. And we were just remarking to each other that we didn't ultimately disagree about anything during the rebrand. And the reason we didn't disagree was we did such thorough research. So all of these big bets, like sipping, the mug, the change, the research supported it so strongly. And the research wasn't 60-40. It was this is the best package. It was so clear. And that's why, doing research is expensive, but it was infinitely valuable because it gave us the confidence to take these bigger risks.
And then this will be on shelf with the other soups, right? So
yes.
On shelf and soup, you've got cans, you've got stand-up pouches, you've got Tetra Paks, mm-hmm. bottles, and then you'll have these boxes. From being a packaging nerd and visiting grocery stores probably as much as you do.
Yeah.
What's beautiful about a box is one, you can control what people see, right? So on a bottle, you've got the round corners, you've got the curves. You don't know how somebody's going to put it back. You've got a lot of glare and reflection, but on a box, it's a bold billboard that no matter where you see it, it makes sense. And with your current branding compared to the previous one, it really makes it, when you've got a grouping of these, you create an entire billboard, right? Even though each of them is a little bit different color, your branding, everything is in the same position. It's easy to identify, whether it's a cow or chicken. You've got color for tomato. It makes it super, super simple. So congrats on this. And it's definitely a different feel from the previous one. These are two completely different companies.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about it as a relaunch. I mean, it's a rebrand, but it's really a relaunch. I mean, this is luckily everything inside stayed the same. So.
Sure.
We're always nervous about that when you change the look of something, but it is the exact same product. But from a visual and brand identity standpoint, this is completely a revolution for us.
And for the customers that are used to buying the previous pack, what communication is happening to transition them into the new pack? Because that's also another challenge that brands have.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the research in that because that was the big concern. So one, the name was really important. So the name Lona Life is staying the same. That's the most consistent similarity between version one and the current version. The way the research design was set up was so fascinating. We talked to two groups of current Lona Life customers, and we said, why do you buy Lona Life? And we said, is it the product? Is it the packaging? And I would say almost to the 90% level, people said, your product is fantastic. The powder itself is so good. And most of them said, and your packaging is a little weird. They're like, they're like, I don't hike. I don't see myself doing this stuff. And one person said, he's like, you could sell this in a white box and I'd still buy it because I love what's inside. So that gave us confidence that when we switched, all of our customers are very likely to not be put off by the switch because they already aren't in love with our packaging. It's not beautiful enough to want to be on your kitchen counter, right? So that was really encouraging. And then the second thing about research that was super interesting was we talked to category shoppers that don't know about Llama Life, and we asked them which designs they liked. And they overwhelmingly liked our new version so much because they were like, one person just famously said, whoever made this knows what they're doing. And they were like, you can tell they're pros. Like, and we just loved that comment. And they could pick it up, and in 1 second, they knew what protein it was. That was a big problem with their old packaging. Like, oh, they have to read some text to figure out it's beef or chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, with the imagery we have on now, it's you have an instant recognition of what it is and why it's different than the other bone broths.
You've kept the logo in the same position as you had it before, right? So that's the identifier, the Llama Life in the top left corner, but it's super sharp now because now you've kind of flipped it a little bit where you've got a white background behind the Llama. You still have that red area unless it's on the red box, but it's like, it's identifiable. So it's like, I know, okay, I've got one record. This is the same company, but then everything else has changed and it's kind of changed around there.
Yeah.
That's cool. So are you saying like to crack the code on a redesign, it's really research first?
Yeah. Something I learned from my researcher is like, there's not one single kind of research that will fix every consumer packaged goods problem. But she prescribed some research. One was, it's called a mobile ethnography study, where we had people hold iPhones and go into grocery stores and videotape themselves shopping the category. And sometimes we'd assign them like, hey, go into the store and find Llama Life. And sometimes they'd be standing there with us on video and they'd be like, I can't find it. I can't see it. And that just drove the fact that you need to have awareness before you have consideration. If they can't see it in the shell, in this assortment, you're not passed over or like rejected. You're ignored.
You just don't exist.
You don't exist, period. So that's why that gave us confidence to go really bold, because we're like, at least people are going to see us. They have to see us. Yeah. The focus groups really helped give us confidence about the sipping, and the research just really was the key.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Cause it's important to be able to capture the shopper's gaze. Right. And if you don't have a ton of funding, you know, if you're a startup, getting some people to go in and shop just with that iPhone experience, like that's just a great way to even just test it, right? Because you're seeing it through their eyes. Yeah, they're holding this phone up, but it's like, yeah, if they don't see you, it doesn't matter what you do. So at least you know, okay, I've got to make a shift. We're blending in, everybody's standing out. So now we've got to see what's on shelf, what our competitors are doing, and do something completely different and more bold in order to stand out. Again, I can't say it's completely different enough because, right, you've gone from outdoors to the illustrations of the cow and the chicken are kind of like this handcrafted feel, where it feels a little bit more kind of just focused on the craft of creating this product versus the experience of what we think I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think that's right. Speaking of the gourmet angle, one area of controversy when we were doing the design was the food photography at the bottom, because obviously we have the hand pencil drawing. And a lot of times people will lean into that for the entire design. You know, you do one or the other, food photography or drawing. And we blended, and the designer, who I'm not giving enough credit to, they're very talented. The designer said, you know, you really want to do flavor specific food photography on every flavor for the contents in the mug. And that's what we did. And we didn't think it would pay off as hugely as it did, but it just adds so much dynamism and so much draw to the, like, when you see, okay, this tomato beef looks different than the regular beef, it really takes it to the next level. And that came straight from the designer's eye, and thank God we trusted them.
All right. So how does this align with like with Llama Life's roadmap moving forward, right? You've got bone broth, collagen. Like, where does this open up doors for future products?
I think one of the challenges of being a company that has food operations and flavor development experts in it is you always want to try to push the boundaries of what you are. And we've definitely launched some products that were beyond the scope of what our customers are asking for from us in the Lona Life brand. So the Lona Life brand is sipping bone broth and will remain sipping bone broth. And we're going to go deep just on sipping bone broths. And there's other stuff we could do maybe with other proteins and in other categories, but honestly, those would demand new brands. Lona Life's almost 10 years old and it means something to, you know, thousands of people. And we just want to maximize that narrow sipping bone broth use case.
Got it. So you're not going into like green drinks, right? Like sipping plant broth.
No, I think the market is so competitive. You've got to be narrow and you've got to be the best. The days when one brand could cross a bunch of categories, I think, are gone. And if they're not gone, you need a lot of money to make that happen, to spread awareness. Sure. Lona Life has never raised outside money. So like we've always had to be really scrappy and go with what the customers want.
That's awesome. And then how many stores are you guys in today?
High thousands, about 8,000 right now.
Wow. And then is that just North America or is that globally?
That's just in the United States. That's just in the United States. So we're available online outside the country, but we really focused on the U.S. and we're in all 50 states.
What stopped you from going overseas?
It really goes back to the bootstrapping reason. It's a wonderful market to be a consumer entrepreneur in because it's big and the boundaries between states largely don't mean that much from a regulatory standpoint. I have a really good friend who was in business school in Ireland and he was talking about launching a food company and we did the math and it was like, okay, there's only maybe 5 million people in Ireland. It's going to be really hard to support a consumer business in such a small country. In the US, I think, you know, as a food entrepreneur, you should be able to make it work here. It's just one country to start.
Got it. And I mean, you bring up a good point in terms of regulatory, right? So in the US, obviously, if you're starting a cannabis brand, you're going to have issues moving packaging across borders. And each state has its own regulations of what has to be on the pack. So that becomes a pain. But with food, it's pretty much coast to coast. Right. Like you can move product into anywhere. Is there anywhere in the states that you have to do something different or that regulations get in the way?
There are some, by and large, what you said is correct. There's some minor ones. And the one that comes to mind is like California, has Prop 65, which is the cancer warning. But the way food entrepreneurs and Lona Life like manage that is, if California says you have to do something, you just package your product that way.
For
everybody. So even though here in New York, there's no Prop 65 mandate, like it's still sold here with a Prop 65 mandate. So
yeah. And then how do you address the Prop 65 mandate on your packaging? What's the warning?
We have none. So Lona Life is not, requires no warning. Prop 65 is, you know, it's a list of thousands of chemicals that could be known to the state of California to cause cancer. And Lona Life has none of them. It's a super clean label, simple product.
Nice. Awesome, man. So if anybody's looking for some bone broth, right, and they want to sip it and they don't want to buy it in all these other forms out there that are a little confusing because you're not sure if you're just going to dump this into your chili or what you're going to do with it, but you actually want to just sip it. Where should they go and buy this product?
Yeah. In grocery stores, you can find us nationwide at Kroger. Publix has us. Sprouts has us. Thousands of other independents have us. We're the top bone broth on Amazon and LonaLife.com.
And that's going to be in the soup aisle?
In the soup aisle.
Not like you're not in the broth section. You're in the soup section.
We are in the broth section. So most grocery stores now have bone broth sections because bone broth has gotten so popular. So you'll find us merchandise next to some of the larger nationally known bone broths.
What's the best thing you're making with this bone broth? Like how are you drinking it?
Every time I get a little tickle in my throat, Lona Life is the thing to get. I would go with the mainline beef bone broth to start. And Yeah, especially here in New York, starting in like October, when it's cold outside and you don't want to have coffee, 3 p.m., cup of broth fills you up. It's wonderful.
Sweet. I just saw a video, and I'll send it to you if you're interested. It was a video on Swiss Miss chocolate, right? Like mm-hmm. it comes in the box and there's like six in there, and mm-hmm. You got like a big envelope of hot chocolate milk, or, you know, hot chocolate. When you read the actual instructions on there, that entire envelope is only for, I think, 6 ounces, and every cup is like 12 ounces.
Oh, so really?
How many ounces, like per stick?
Yeah.
What is it, like an 8 ounce?
We say 10 ounces. So, and we're
even better.
We're very specific about that because of our food background. So I can show you this is my regular Lotta Life mug. Mm-hmm. It's filled up, you know, 3/4 water, and then the stick pack, which is much easier to tear than those Swiss Miss envelopes.
Dude, 100%.
Yeah, just right in there.
Cool. That's great. No, and I wanted to say that because, like, you know, when you go to do hot chocolate, you assume you're going to get a full cup and you put that in there, and all of a sudden you just don't get enough flavor. So you got to do 2 packs in there.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're 10 ounces is even better.
I tell people all the time, if you're eating instant ramen noodles, you know, you might look at that label and think, oh my gosh, this is a lot of sodium. It's 2 servings per package, and everybody's eating the whole package.
The whole package.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. So I'm super stoked, man. I got a Kroger across the street, so I'm going to head over and pick some of this up. I'm excited to see this. And the new packaging is going to hit shelves. When can we expect to see this?
It is shipping today, so this is a great day. Hit the warehouse today, shipping out tomorrow. Just within a week or two, should be on shelf.
Man, Jesse, I appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that I didn't touch on that maybe you want to talk about before we hop off?
No, I appreciate your love of being a packaging nerd. This was really fun. I think we covered everything.